It's good to see everyone here, and it's great to hear you chatting and visiting with each other. It's such a nice, beautiful, crisp winter morning, and it's great to see the sunshine. The last Sunday in February and the second Sunday in Lent. So I just want to remind you that you have an extra day this month, Thursday the 29th of February. And you know a year is actually 365.25 days according to the solar system. So every fourth year they have to add an extra day so our calendar can catch up with the solar system. And may it be a good day for you, this extra day, and good and productive, and maybe you can even get to do something special that you want to do. It's great to have Pastor Roberta back with us, and we're so glad you're feeling better and hope it continues. We will start our service now with our invitation to worship. Come in. Feel your feet on the floor. Settle your worries. Take a deep breath. Dust the cobwebs from your ears. Relax the tension in your jaw. We have been found. Let us worship the God of deep waters. Amen. Now let us continue with our opening unison prayer. Creator God, you hear everything. You hear the rush of the wind through the trees. You hear a baby's first cry. You hear the crickets chirping, our silent prayers, and laughter around the tables. You hear it all. We don't need that same capacity, but we do need to hear your word. O God, for we cannot live on bread alone. So today we pray, give us the ability to truly listen. Give us the ability to listen with our hearts. And may the truths revealed in your scripture today change us. With hearts full of gratitude, we pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for being able to be here today and have the freedom to worship. Be with us and let us feel your presence. As we continue the journey through Lent, help us to more fully understand why you made that journey to the cross. Not because we deserved it, but because you loved us. May we humbly accept your grace and mercy and live our lives to reflect that to others. You have heard those names that we have lifted up today and are praying for. We know there are many health issues. We ask for your healing touch for them. We thank you for the doctors, nurses, and medical professionals that are dedicated to helping us heal. We rejoice when there is healing and improvement, and thank you for that. Lord, comfort and strengthen those needing help with various issues. Help us to know you are here for us if we just call upon you. And Lord, we pray for the good things that are going on at Benton Central and the play coming up. There's just a lot of good things going on. And Lord, be with Pastor Roberta as she brings us her message. May our hearts and minds be open to receive it. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Now would you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So at this time, we will have our scripture reading. It is from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. One day, Jesus was standing beside Lake Genesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I'm a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture. And for the word of God among us, we say, thanks be to God.
Before we get started, I do want to take a moment and thank everyone for your cards and your text and your concern while I was sick. I want to thank Teresa for taking care of most of the service today and just letting me preach so I can conserve energy and air and whatever else I need to conserve. If you're having trouble hearing, I only have so much air and projection right now. So if you have trouble hearing, if you'll raise your hand, I'll do the best I can, or maybe even move a little forward for the next couple of weeks. That might help too. So again, though, thank you for all your prayers and concerns. As we begin our sermon series for Lent, Wandering Heart and Figuring Out Faith with Peter, I want to affirm that like you and I, Peter was not a perfect human being. He was an imperfect human being whom God loved very much. Sometimes Peter's heart wandered. At other times, while Peter's heart was in the right place, sometimes his words and his actions didn't always match up with the intent of his heart, and we've all had that happen. We've said something or done something that we intended, and the intent that we intended just didn't turn up the way we intended. As one of our theme designers so aptly put it, faith is a constant journey of steadfast pursuit, one that ebbs and flows, seeks and wanders. And so this was the faith of Peter. And wandering isn't necessarily our being distant from God, and it isn't even always intentionally our distancing ourselves from God, but can be more of an exploration of our faith or an exposure or exposing to us where we are, where we've been, and sometimes where we're headed. Often we refer to those kinds of explorations as growth areas or spiritual development or, you know, rubbing out the rough edges, that kind of thing. I've always been drawn to Peter's journey with Jesus because I think we see and find in ourselves and in ourselves in Peter's faith journey. I think when we look at the journey that Peter took, we find sometimes how our own journey matches up. At least for me, Peter's journey with Jesus can be kind of like a highlighter for my own faith journey. It highlights kind of where I've been, the path I'm on, where I lack trust, exposing my fears, the path I have to journey down, and even hearing Jesus' call to me in this time and in this particular place. What strikes me about Peter is while he may stumble, Peter never gets up. He gets up and he keeps going. He keeps seeking. He keeps learning. He keeps wondering. He keeps answering and listening and journeying on despite the imperfections. He drops his nets even as he questions. He walks on water despite almost sinking. He runs to the empty tomb, and then he swims to shore to meet the risen Christ. Peter keeps on going. He's kind of, anybody remember the Energizer Bunny rabbit that used to be on TV? He's kind of like that. You know, he just keeps going. He keeps searching and yearning and loving, even when his steps falter and he makes mistakes. Peter's journey then can kind of serve as a reminder to us that God loves imperfect people. I hear people all the time to say, well, you know, before I can go to church, I got to get my life in order. Before I can go to Jesus, I got to get a few things straightened out. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because Jesus comes to us in our imperfections. So maybe when you hear that person saying, you know, got to get it all figured out before I get there, maybe what's really going on is Jesus is saying, you know, I know you're imperfect. I know you're not there yet, but come to me anyway, and I'll get you there. We'll do that journey together. In fact, I think time and time again, those are really the people that God calls to cast their nets a little wider and to walk on water and heal the sick and feed the hungry and walk along the shoreline with the marginalized. The truth is, God calls each of us as everyday human beings, just as we are, unpolished and imperfect, to be disciples, to follow Jesus, to journey along with him, wherever that may lead. We too sometimes have to drop our nets when Jesus calls, even if we do so only because you say so, Jesus. And often like Peter, when we allow ourselves to do so, we are amazed at what Jesus does in our lives and in the lives of others. At other times, like Peter, we find ourselves swimming toward the risen Jesus, somewhat stunned by his presence, so that we can meet him on shore. While at other times, we're going to find ourselves running to the empty tomb, not yet quite believing that he is risen, or even being willing to embrace the possibility that a miracle might be taking place in our midst. And then sometimes, like Peter, we're going to cry out to Jesus when we're about to sink. We're going to betray him in our own way, make mistakes, stumble, and fall in our faith journey. But like Peter, Jesus will always be there to catch us, to fill our boats back up, to offer us abundant grace, fill our nets, and set our feet on the ground again. So while Peter's journey isn't linear, polished, or perfect, I think what we need to remember is Peter's always connected to the love of God.
That when we look closely at Peter's walk with Jesus, what we're going to find is that Jesus was with Peter each step along the way, always offering Peter abundance, always blessing him, catching him when he began to sink, challenging him when he stood and contradicted Jesus, washing his feet, predicting his betrayal, loving him always, offering him abundance. And because of that, Peter kept going, kept journeying forward, even when his heart faltered and wandered. Now, for those of you who may not be familiar, there's always that chance with Peter. He is sometimes referred to as Simon Peter. Peter's given name is Simon, and that's an Aramaic name, and it means hearing and obedient. However, in the Hebrew tradition, it was pretty common when critical moments in a person's life for their name to get changed, and that's why Jesus changes Peter or Simon's name to Peter, which means man of the rock, indicating that Peter is someone that you can trust. And we all know that when you build on bedrock or a solid foundation, you're given a solid foundation on which to build. So while Peter often struggles and at times has a wandering heart, in the end, he lives up to his name. Today's text uses both names, Simon and Peter, and the use of Peter's Aramaic name, Simon, isn't lost on me. Inasmuch as his name, Simon, bears out its meaning in today's text, as he hears God's call to be fishers of men, is obedient to the call despite having little knowledge of what that's going to mean for him in the days ahead. Now, by trade, he was a fisherman in the region of Galilee, and we know he was likely married. We know he was a business partner with Zebedee and his two sons, James and John, a business that was housed in Capernaum and under the oppressive control of the Roman government. So it was characterized by some really harsh rental and, yes, even harbor fees, fishing licenses, and exorbitant taxes. And being a fisherman by trade, it was hard. Was huge, and for many people, it was a means of sustenance, and that's still true in some parts of the world today. So while the fishing industry could be really, really profitable, it was also kind of a fickle trade at times. And those who didn't succeed in fishing could easily become destitute, so there was nothing worse than coming home with an empty net. Now, for those of you who do any fishing at all, you know that there are days when you catch an abundance of fish. It's just great fishing day. And then you know there are days when you just come up empty-handed. And Peter didn't have any of the modern-day tools to assist him in his fishing. He, you know, didn't have any of the fancy little lures that we get. He didn't have any of the, you know, little bait that, you know, you squirt on things and make your bait work better. He didn't have any of that. He didn't have a Subaru to propel him across the water. No trolling motor, bass moat with a fish finder on his boat. All he had was oars, a sail, nets, maybe a pole and a hook, and knowledge of the trade and his experience. So as we enter into the text, we find Simon Peter wrapping up a rather unprofitable day of fishing, and he's doing what those who fish do at the end of the day. He's taking care of his equipment. He's securing the boats, cleaning, mending nets. Those who have fish are hauling them to the market and making sure that all is ready for tomorrow when Jesus decides to board Simon Peter's boat and begins teaching those that are gathered there that day. And then after this little lesson, he tells Simon to row out a little bit farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch. Now, mind you, this is at the end of Peter's day. He's hungry, he's tired, and he's ready for his biblical day recliner. And at this point, having nothing to show for a day's work, I suspect he's a little bit despondent, and at the very least, He's probably even a little bit irritated. Nevertheless, despite his reservation, he says, you know, Master, we've worked hard all day and night, and we've caught nothing. But because you say so, okay, I'll drop the nets. I can just kind of see Peter rolling his eyes and doing one of those inward sighs that kind of says, really, Jesus? Are you kidding? You want me to do this now? But on Jesus' word, he drops those nets into the water. And the result is this catch that's so huge that the nets are absolutely splitting. In fact, the catch is so massive that Simon Peter has to call for help. And in the end, their little boats are so full that they're in danger of sinking, and yet they stay afloat. And here's one of the things that really strikes me about today's text. If you will notice, Simon Peter never, ever invited Jesus aboard his boat. He didn't invite Jesus to get in the boat. He didn't call out to shore and say, hey, you can use my boat. Come right along with me. Instead, Jesus sought Peter out and got into his boat without invitation. Didn't call, text ahead. He made no appointment. He just shows up, uses Peter's boat for a classroom, and ends this message with this unbelievable benediction that anyone paying attention could see. And yeah, I am saying that Jesus' blessing on Simon Peter and company with this abundant catch was a pretty cool benediction, if you ask me. Because clearly, Jesus' actions point us all to the fact that Jesus wants to bless us abundantly. And when Jesus seeks us out, invited or not, it's an invitation to answer Jesus' call and to be blessed in doing so. But all too often, I think sometimes we're a lot like Peter. After we receive a call from God or this invitation and the blessing, we're just, you know, we kind of push off the blessings. And so we're kind of like Peter, yeah, leave me. I don't want that blessing. And suddenly, when we're blessed so abundantly, we realize that, well, you know, I'm not really worthy of that call. I didn't deserve the blessing that I received. Or we attribute that blessing to someone or even something else. We try to push the blessings of God away. And like Peter, we say, get away from me. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm too round. As my granddaughter might say, I got too many pimples. You know, we've all got, you know, I'm not worthy. Leave me. I'm a sinner. Not good enough. You're not welcome in my boat. In Peter's case, I think he was just overwhelmed by the immensity of it all. I think sometimes, like you and I, he's stunned that God would choose to get in the boat with him in the first place, let alone bless him and then call him to be a disciple. So like Peter, we sometimes try to drown out Jesus' voice when he tells us to drop our nets of uncertainty, fear, and emptiness into deeper waters and let our nets of despair or whatever has us full go. The truth is, if Simon Peter had hauled in filled nets that day, there would have been no room for Jesus to fill his nets so abundantly. Sometimes docking an empty boat and feeling as if our nets are empty isn't always a bad thing. It may be that we're about to be blessed abundantly, that we are about to be blessed with the very presence of God, called to something spectacular, or Jesus is about to send us on a new adventure. You know, when Simon Peter saw that catch and fell at Jesus' feet, it seems to me that suddenly he realized that the divine presence of God was standing in his boat. There are times in life when we're in certain situations and we feel the divine presence of God wash over us. And Jesus just kind of gets in the boat with us. And for Peter, it was his boat. But sometimes also that divine presence, as wonderful as it is, can bring with it a sense of fear and trembling and uncertainty. And so if you're like me, that realization created within Peter kind of a protest of sorts. Again, I'm not good enough to be blessed by you. Capable, polished, smart, faithful, deserving enough. And like Peter, our list can go on and on and on and on. And yet Jesus, despite all of those I'm nots, seeks us out anyway, gets into our boat just as we are, invited or not, calls us and blesses us with abundant and amazing grace, just as we are. Pimples and all. Peter had to be stunned by that. His amazement was at more than just this huge catch of fish, but that God in the flesh, would seek him out at all. Remember what Jesus says to Peter? What does he say to him? Don't be afraid. And Jesus says the same to us. Don't be afraid of my call or my blessings. Receive them. Don't be afraid of your empty nets or when I ask you to drop your nets. I want to bless you richly and abundantly. And for Peter, this is when Jesus called him to be a disciple. From now on, you're going to fish for people. I doubt Peter saw that one coming. He never considered that he would be called to leave everything behind and toss his nets and follow Jesus, and yet he did. And what is true for Peter is always true for us. We don't always see the call coming. Jesus just boards the boat and sends us off on a mission. Dr. Terrence Lester, who leads a nonprofit called Love Beyond Walls, a ministry that advocates for the unhoused, shares a story. And he says he remembers that during COVID, a man named Dimitri, who had a relationship with their ministry, came in and he was obviously very anxious and very scared and just in a tizzy. And so when he asked him what was on his mind, Dimitri says, you know, I believe I'm going to die because I don't have anywhere to wash my hands. How am I supposed to wash my hands when I don't have anywhere to go? Dimitri's story then fueled a nationwide campaign called Love Sinks In, a ministry to provide hand washing access for those without it. Such a ministry, he notes, enabled them to connect more deeply with their community. And he said, as others focused on quarantine and debated toilet paper, they provided basic sanitation for those who experienced being homeless and unhoused. You see, through Dimitri, without invitation, Jesus boarded Dr. Lester's boat that day. And because Terrence's net was empty enough, and because he was listening and heard Jesus' call, maybe even said, because you say so, Jesus, the people in his community and others nationwide were given access to basic sanitation. You probably saw some of those hand washing stations around. I wonder, what is Jesus calling you to do today? And how will you respond when Jesus climbs into your boat as an uninvited guest and tells you to toss your empty net for a catch? Will you sit in your boat and tremble? Tell Jesus to leave you and remain afraid of the call and the blessings of God? Or, like Peter, will you respond and say, because you say so? Drop your empty nets and let Jesus fill them until you are bursting at the seams with amazement at the blessing you've received. And recognize the abundance of Jesus' grace when he calls your name.